Welcome, everyone. Welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Tonight with my great co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening. I'm glad to be here, Jackie.
I'm thrilled that you're here. And the adventure continues.
You bet.
Well, it's been quite an adventure, I think, for and certainly for everyone out there listening tonight. Bless you all.
For the courage it takes to really get down and dirty with your transformation. Woo!
Yes, it does. And before we get into any of the shadow stuff, Veronica, I really want to revisit the what's going on with everybody with the shame as I'm pulling hair out of my head.
You have shame in your head?
No, my poor body's in shock. And as I'm sure everyone else's is, and Lord knows I get enough emails and phone calls to verify that that's the case.
Mm.
So, you know, I just want to revisit the fact that we are still dealing with the lifting of shame.
You
this
bet.
Is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge, and huge. I can't emphasize this enough. So we're going to dance into the shadow because this is going to be, I think, a lot more fun. And we don't have to deal with it. You know, now there'll be other human lifetimes, yes, but at least we're not dealing with all lifetimes everywhere.
Mm.
Now, I want to talk about some of the physical manifestations that people are having because they're really kind of running the gamut. Lots of herpes and shingles.
Yeah, I want to say that I developed herpes in, like, just a heartbeat right after. I think it was just the morning after the shame lifting. But the interesting thing is it was gone within a day.
Yes. Now, that does not surprise me. And that's basically what I'm seeing with people is that it comes on and, you know, some are carrying it a little longer. But it is a piece of what's going on. I mean, obviously, you know, tied into the second chakra, to sexual shame, but also to the total nervous system.
Well, I also think that, you know, I always think of herpes as being one of those evidences of the victim energy, too. You know, so whenever I get it, or my clients do, we often look for victim consciousness. So I was thinking, extrapolating from that, that it really is kind of like a wave of shame that, I don't know, I just feel like it goes through, it probably ran through a lot of people's lives at that point.
It has definitely run through people's lives. I have people who are still, and you know, you and I have talked about this, Veronica, but we haven't shared this with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Those times where this wave will come over and it feels like a black hole.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay for long.
Thank heaven.
Right. But it can be there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it helps to remember, oh my gosh, this is just going through, yeah.
Well, you and I were talking, I think yesterday, Veronica, and you were describing some symptom that you had had. I don't know what it was. Do you remember?
I think it's that I just felt so plunged into, well, I know we talked about the herpes, but also I felt so plunged into blackness, and then it was just gone.
Right, and wasn't it Bob, your partner, that indicated it was just shame?
Yes.
You know,
he's good at being objective when I lose it.
Right.
But I don't know why he isn't suffering. We're going to have to ask him that.
Well, we'll make sure we'll take care of that.
Yeah, we will. I tried standing on his toe, but it didn't work very well.
I know. Well, everybody is kind of doing this one differently. And what has come up in the sessions, which I am fascinated by, absolutely fascinated by, is while I've been in trance and channel, they have started literally just lifting out of the cells and literally talking to the cells, commanding, I have to watch my words here. You know, the English language is so difficult to translate some of these things because it's so confining. But what they've been doing is, for people who are stuck, you know, or are finding that things are just really, you know, churning in them, specific relationships and so on at this lifetime, they have gone back with them and had them speak the name, literally talk to the cells, and had them speak the name of first mother and father, but staying with one particular family member or significant other. And then they're able to look in and see all the issues that are in there and speak them as they have the person breathe.
Well, you mean when you said speak the name, so say like, my mother, my mother, my mother, my...
No. Let's say that you're having a session.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have done is they literally speak to yourselves and ask yourselves to respond to the name, and then they speak the name while you breathe.
Oh, I see. So then you might be surprised at what name...
No, they speak. They know, let's say they're going to do father with you.
Okay? Oh, I see, okay.
All right, and they speak his name.
Oh, my.
And ask the cells to respond. And then have you describe where it's showing up in the body. Now, we had someone today whose arms started flexing uncontrollably, and the energies were moving through their body, shock and... all different kinds of things were going on in their body. Involuntarily, literally, they were trembling all over. I'm fascinated by this process.
First of all,
I was fascinated when they decided to do this. It happened spontaneously with someone else. And I kind of thought, well, where are they going with this one? And I was like, oh, whoa. And literally... instructing the cells to release as the person breathes, as they're talking, and literally they start talking about the different issues, betrayals and so on and so forth, associated, emotions associated with that relationship. And it's really phenomenal, and I'm still kind of, you know, I keep thinking, oh, no, not another one. But, again, really fascinating the way that we have held these emotions. Also the sensing of feeling, this fleeting feeling of feeling either immobilized and hopeless or just feeling like you're coming apart at the seams. Now,
immobilized has happened to me and other people I know as well.
Okay, good. All right. That's the word that, you know, they were, as I was writing notes for the show, this sensing of being just totally immobilized. What I want to say here is that we're going through a total reorganization. And it takes time for that to happen. And, you know, I hate to use the word, but I want everybody to understand that in doing this work, okay, it's never been done this way before. Now, again, you know, I certainly always look to Lazarus in terms of, I have, through all of this, decided that work is so brilliant. The tools, you know, you can't rewrite those. This is a different frequency in that we're dealing with all lifetimes. You know, it tends to take on a totally different frequency. And everyone is being monitored. If you're having a problem, please email me. Okay? And certainly I've been sending them out to people in between sessions and so on, saying, you know, somebody called me today and had an excruciating headache, was very emotionally distraught, and, you know, I sent them right away. Someone the other night sent me, you know, it's just, we're really trying to keep everybody as together as possible.
Well, we don't want to stay together, do we? We want to transform a little more easily at times, maybe.
Well, again...
I don't mean to correct you. I just thought I don't want to
say... No, I don't take it as a correction at all.
Okay. But I don't want to stay stuck together. I want to be unfolding.
Well, you want to come apart and come back together a whole new way.
Yeah.
However, you want to be able to function during the process.
Right, and there's a real death involved in that, too, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There is. There is no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of this, however... and I know everybody's getting glimpses of this, whether it's for a moment or a couple of hours, this feeling of hope, unbelievable hope,
mm-hmm.
an exhilaration of energy, of feeling freedom, of things being more beautiful, glowing, colors, experiences, you know, hopefulness,
mm-hmm.
Commitment, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful to me. And so it is going to get better. What I want to do in terms of moving into the shadow is not plunge in, but kind of, and you said it yesterday, dance in.
Great.
Because the shadow is not the shame. This is the biggest single piece, seriously, that can ever have been worked with, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It is huge. At
some level, it's been a duty in our consciousness to be shamed, isn't it? It's a weird kind of...
To do what?
It's almost like it's been in our consciousness, in our subconsciousness, shame has been kind of like a dutiful thing. You know, that false humility or that need to be humbled enough to stay well-behaved, or it's been a political thing.
Well, it comes from every direction. I would say that all of you as a group agreed to take on probably an inordinate amount of shame.
Mm.
Because this coming together is not happenstance. Anybody that's listening out there tonight didn't just happen to, you know, log in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a group of people, and there are more out there that will be joining, a group of people who agreed to do this, who came in to help make this transition in a very accelerated fashion. And so you should all really honor yourselves for that.
I agree.
Yeah, it's difficult sometimes to pull out of your own experience
mm-hmm.
long enough to pull back. And I think I shared this last week during a session. They took someone to the edge of the universe
mm-hmm.
and literally showed all these lifetimes lighting up in the universe, blinking off and on so that, you know, you couldn't miss them, that were beneficiaries and co-participants in this experience.
Mm-hmm.
When you can see that from an objective perspective, the current discomfort then becomes a lot more tolerable, at least certainly for me. Now, you know, I've always got my caution sign up going, okay, can we do this in a way that's not... So going into the shame thing, I mean, to me, I think there's a shadow. I think the shadow is going to be fascinating because there are all these gifts that we can retrieve. And I see this as such an exciting opportunity. And now, with as far as we've gone through the shame work, we can do this with our dignity in place, you know,
right.
without all the judgment and the shame that would get in the way.
Right.
Because the negative ego is going to scream bloody murder and say, you don't need this, you don't need this. Okay. And the goal here for everybody is to bring forth your great work,
mm-hmm.
Which you really came here to do. So courageously agreeing to take on all the crap you've all took on, myself included. Okay. Knowing that in transmuting it, again, working through the archetypes at a whole different level, that you would have an exponential impact on the mass consciousness. I mean, I think this is exciting as hell. Unfortunately, I'm probably, you know.
You're probably what?
Well, I tend to push the boundaries, you know.
Good. Lead the way. We're with you.
Well, yeah. I think I've been a scientist in several lifetimes, not on this planet. Okay, now this is an exciting part, and before we get into the whole shadow stuff, I really would encourage everybody to start asking to bring forward more information from the dream state about the work you're doing on the other side.
Okay.
Because now it can really start coming through, and I'll give you a case in point. I'm doing a session on someone. In fact, I read their email last week about the art pieces that they created. They have hybrid children, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And during their session this week, they started asking questions. Now, when I'm in channel, they're very careful never to say, you are, you have. If the subject comes up in any way, it is always about your own self-discovery. It's not, you don't need somebody, and it would take away the joy of your own discovery.
Mm-hmm.
To say to you, well, you have been this and you did that, that's not what we're about this lifetime. Because you can walk away with that piece and think, well, you know, was that really true? But when you see it, you discover it, as they hold the energy for you to experience it, then it's yours. Nobody did it for you. Nobody gave it to you. Did they hold the energy for you to see it and experience it? Yes. That is merely an opportunity for you to answer your own question.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about a dream she had had with, it was cats. Some of them were deformed. And obviously they already knew the answer. And so I don't know how they did it. Unfortunately, I don't hold the sessions, but whatever way it was, they opened up this energy for them to see, and they all of a sudden knew. They were aboard ship. It had to do with what she was doing in the dream state also.
Mm-hmm.
There she was aboard ship helping all these hybrid children who were still in their, they're like bats, okay? They have to float in fluid. And then they start moving out of that experience. But all of a sudden, this whole revelation, this whole peace was there for her. And she was so excited in a way she had always known it, but could never capture it. And it was so exciting. It opened up a whole new avenue for her. Now, are all of you doing that? No, not necessarily. But there are many things that we are doing in the dream state. The new children that are being born, many are up there at the Arcturian Gate teaching them about how to function as a human, preparing them for what they're going to experience on Earth.
We don't know how to function as a human yet, do we?
No, but you know, hopefully there's a little instruction. All right. So
there is a manual. Oh, my gosh.
You know, some are building, you know, crystalline grids in different places of the planet, you know, working with potential hotspots on the planet for war.
Excellent.
All kinds of things that we're doing in the dream state. All kinds, in addition to all meeting together, planning out kind of the next piece, the next, you know, where are we going from here? Individually and as a group.
Where's the Arcturian Gate? I'm going to throw that out.
On Arcturus.
I mean, when you refer to it, is it...
Arcturus is the closest thing I could explain to you.
Okay.
And we've gone there actually in session to visit the gate. I'm sorry, the dog is barking because the place is full of entities tonight.
they just want to be part of the radio show.
Oh, it's a free-for-all. they also gather around outside. Now, these are beings not necessarily that work with me, but observers. And
an audience. We have a big audience.
Yes, I do. Actually, they're all sitting.
Welcome.
They promise not to materialize because I get distracted. So,
okay.
She only barks when it's beings that she's not used to seeing.
Okay.
Where was I? I forgot what I was talking about.
We're talking about
Arcturian Gate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We've gone there, and it's really an amazing place. And literally, as these beings are launched, in fact, we took a young woman who had, she was ahead of the experience. It was, again, as they facilitate the energy for the person to have the experience rather than telling the person what they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And these children came, and they were in orbs, but with little eyes, and were merging into her and loving her, and it was just unbelievably beautiful. I actually cried through the whole thing because it was just, one of the most astounding experiences I personally ever had. So it was quite phenomenal, Veronica. It's so beautiful, and there is a a male being now, I don't know if they just take on physical personas for my benefit, but he is exquisitely beautiful. He tends to be kind of the, I would call him the keeper of the gate. And he has this beautiful hair. It's blondish white. The most extraordinary eyes and loving countenance I've ever seen. And whenever I see him, and I've been there probably 3 or 4 times, whenever I see him, I'm so filled with love that I don't want to leave. And then there is also this kind of auditorium place where literally all these beings are learning. It's really quite fascinating. Now, you know, I'm assuming it's on Arcturus.
We won't book our ticket until we're sure.
Right. Right.
But when you say Arcturian gate, is that the consciousness? Because the Arcturians are, I don't remember a lot about them, but it's another conversation. But is that a gateway to their consciousness?
No, this is the gateway that the new children are coming in, the crystal children,
okay.
And the, some of the indigos as well. And if you want to, if I were to give it to you in terms of frequency, we're moving to fourth or fifth, you know, whatever. Esasani is moving to sixth. Sirius is moving, let's see, is that right? No, Esasani is moving to fifth. Sirius is moving to sixth. Arcturus is moving to seventh.
Okay.
So if that kind of gives you an idea of frequency and dimension, you know, and I don't like to ever make anything more or less than anything else. It is just a matter of where their frequencies are moving. Okay?
Thank you for that. That's pretty interesting.
Yes, it is.
Sounds like other shows that we have to do on those.
Oh, there's so much information. You know, I've decided we'll never run out of material because there's just so much to share.
Every day.
Okay, I want to throw out a couple of things that I missed last week. One, France has opened up a website with all, and I repeat, all of the UFO sightings over the last 40 years. I believe it's 40 years. And their respective investigations. Now, that website is so busy, you cannot get on it. But this is huge. Absolutely huge. Now, my own perspective on this is that, you know, it was France kind of thumbing their nose at the U.S. because it's the one country the U.S. can't shut up.
Sacré bleu!
Exactly. And then I want to share with you...
What's the site?
Actually, I'll put it in the newsletter.
Wonderful.
I got another wonderful article today by Whitley Strieber, who wrote Communion. Now, you know, Whitley, you know, I really appreciate the work that this and the courage this man has had, because he certainly broke open the consciousness of humans as it relates to the abduction experience and interactions with extraterrestrials. But his opening sentence, the title of the article is "The Elephant is Stampeding in the Living Room." And what he writes, and I know this to be true, is the past 6 months have been the most astonishing period of change in the whole history of the UFO phenomena. Not since the early 50s have there been so many and such extensive sightings, and never was such a level of official support for the reality of the phenomena. Now, this is a big breakthrough, everyone. Now, I also want you to know that the work you're all doing is having a direct correlation, okay? There is a direct correlation between what we're doing here and the acceleration of the phenomena on Earth. Now, that's a big statement. You guys will all have to think about that one. I think people will have a million questions on that one. But I can tell you it's absolutely the truth. Now, because we're all ambassadors, whether you have taken that on, that mantle on or not, but I want to share something that Whitley says in here when he wrote the book Communion. Now, that's an old book. When he wrote that book, and it was cutting edge at the time, he got 500,000 letters from people who were having the same experience. Now, that's a huge number. And that book came out, what, 91, 92, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share that because I think that's a really fascinating piece. And now we're going to segue kind of into the whole shadow dance here. I just want to talk my own experience here. What's interesting to me is I really don't know what the subject of the show is going to be. We've talked about the shadow, but I wasn't sure. As you know, Veronica, I had a couple of other things in mind, but I wasn't getting any clear signals, which is a surprise to me. But I had a series of dreams over different nights. And I would wake up, and I'm like, it wasn't necessarily a dream. Well, one was a dream. But I was waking up with total knowingness about things that had happened to me that were never explained, about really big issues around my mother and my aunt and the deceased mother-in-law, obviously all mother issues and mother projection. Excuse me, we have allergies here. And my ex-husband is not well, and I had this incredible experience with him. I knew that we were working with him. And, you know, how much I had loved him when I was married to him. And I had this overwhelming sense of love for him. Not wanting to be with him, but just appreciating and feeling how much I had been in love with him. And the light side of that experience instead of the dark side of it. So, of course, I didn't realize that every piece of this was actually in my shadow. And the experiences with my mother, with my aunt, with my ex-mother-in-law, because they all were very sad in many ways and very convoluted. But the awarenesses I woke up with, these huge pieces that could never be answered in this lifetime by any living human, were right there. And I'm like, wow, where is this going? It's just like, what? I did a session with someone who was working with children and putting together a whole concept to do television shows. And during the channeling, they've been kind of directing her about, you know, creative content and so on and so forth. And this session, they went into the whole consciousness of these young people and what was really going on with them. And, well, the areas for her to look. Again, they don't want to drop it in and give it to you because, again, taking away from you your own sense of self-discovery, the excitement of that, part of your great work, and being able to give that to yourself. So they gave ideas about where to look at the archetypes, look at the music, look at the, and so on. And while this channeling is going on, I have these guys, like, you know, in a road with flags, you know, how they wave you through and, you know, when they've got the roads blocked. Well, they're over there waving these flags like, this is the show, this is the show. So obviously they're getting more and more creative with how they bring this through. All right, so I also want to talk about, this is going to be very exciting and empowering, not scary.
Well, first of all, let's tell, just for a thumbnail, what is the shadow?
Okay, that's where I'm going right now.
Oh, good.
Okay, because this is kind of it's an anathema to most people. They kind of know, but they don't. So, I'm going to quote Lazarus. The shadow is made up of all the stuff that you've denied, that you discount, that you defend yourself against, that you distract yourself from. All the aspects of you that you pretend don't exist, or if they exist, are no big deal. The shadow is made up of all the stuff you learned to resist and that you refused to accept, the dark and the light. Now, I want to give you the four components, and I have to tell you, Lazarus has, and you know, again, as we walk through this work, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. The information that Lazarus has done both on shame and, you know, on the shadow, brilliant, okay? So my recommendation, Lazarus.com, Lazarius.com, there is a tape and also a workbook. called Working with Your Shadow, an imperative to the spiritual path.
Hmm.
And, you know, or on the spiritual path. So, I'm going to quote, you know, it's interesting. I've had this book since 1988. I never got through more than 5 pages of it. And, you know, have we been working through with the shadow stuff in this work? Absolutely. But interestingly enough, for whatever reason, I don't look for guidelines, which shows, you know, how stubborn I really am. Four components of the shadow, and this is, you know, are what you've been taught and conditioned to deny. Okay? Your power, your, you know, as children we're taught, don't, you know, don't think about yourself, you're selfish, you know, think about other people. You know, you were taught to deny all those parts of you, especially through religion. Oh, God, especially
really?
Through religion. Okay, anybody who's ever been in a Catholic church certainly knows that as they look up at a crucified Christ who died for your sins and has been taught that you were born with original sin. You're dead coming right out of the box. What the adaptive child elbowed away, and, you know, I can speak to this just for myself because of living in all the foster homes, I had to be the most adaptive child on the planet because I would be dropped off at someone's home, and I would have to figure out in a minute how to fit into a family dynamic that was totally foreign to me, and these people, I never knew them, and how to survive. And so we all do this. Mine's always an exaggerated situation. But we did it with raging parents, with alcoholic parents, with martyred parents, you know, with bullying siblings. We became adaptive and suppressed so much of who we really are, including our power. What the panic adolescent scattered. Hold on. I'm waiting for a ship just to land in the backyard. All right, with the panic, adolescent scattered. Overwhelm, too much. And those aspects of yourself, from your aggression. Now, Lazarus uses the word avarice. And, you know, I actually had to look this word up because it's not one that people by nature would know. And our tendency is to go, oh, that, and not really go with it.
Right.
From your aggression to your avarice. Avarice is your insatiable greed for riches. And so those aspects of yourself, from your aggression to your greed, and all that you will not be responsible for. Those are basically, now this is something that psychologists will tell you, okay? The four aspects of the shadow. and I want to start tonight, you know, with the children, because I think as a group, they have come onto the planet to help move us through as a race, to play out the exaggerated side of what we haven't owned in our shadow. And they're doing a brilliant job of it. Now, we talked about this during shame because that's part of it as well. But, you know, people don't really understand how much shame and the shadow weave together.
You mean all children? You mean just this whole wave of generations?
Oh, yes.
Or the generational consciousness, is that it?
Well, I'm going to stick with the U.S. because that's where we're really seeing it. We can't really speak to other countries because we're not there.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S., again, you know, really represents Atlantis. Okay? And most people really know that at some deep level. Technologically and in terms of a global power, you know, we at this point are the closest to what Atlantis was. So I want to focus here because I see this is where we're really, we've chosen to be in this country
mm-hmm.
and to be part of the dynamic of this country. So I want to kind of talk about the archetypes of the children because I think this is fascinating. It's something they brought up. And they said, look to the archetypes.
Okay.
Well, if we look to the archetypes of the children, what we see are Brit and Spears. What we see is Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan. Now, for people who aren't reading magazines, you know, Britney Spears is in, I don't know if she's out of rehab again, but she's been in and out, and certainly going through really what I would call the dark night of the soul. Lindsay Lohan, same thing, in and out of rehab. Paris Hilton, arrested constantly. Kind of the Marilyn Monroe archetype of the young people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get into... again, these kids are out of control, spiraling down, drugs, alcohol, party, excesses. You know, there's the avarice.
Mm-hmm.
Huge excess. And they are young people. They are the archetypes for them because these kids, unless they become, and again, the show American Idol, what a huge piece of this. I don't know if you watch this program, Veronica, but American Idol.
No, I don't.
I love to see the birth of something new.
Okay.
And this is certainly, these are young people, you know, there's an age restriction. When they vote on this show for the who's going to be on and who's going to be off, 36 million people, when they get down to the finals, there'll be 60 million people voting.
Wow.
This is a piece of Americana.
Hmm.
And if you talk to any young person in this country, they want to be an American Idol.
Hmm.
That is their absolute, because, you know, we don't have princes and princesses and kings and queens and so on. So nobody wants to be Bush. So. So what do we really have? And, you know, if you look to your movies now, the stars coming, I mean, they're moving through so fast. I don't know about you, but I can't keep up with any of them.
I can't. There's a lot of animation, too, so that's kind of interesting.
So they were really saying, look at the archetypes. And I don't know if they had mentioned the American Idol, but to me, I find that to be, and you watch these young people go through this transformation as Hollywood grooms them as they're going through this huge competition.
Hmm.
And American Idol is a singing contest, but it is also, it's all kinds of things. And they go all over the country to have people, the word is not interview, to scout. Well, they actually hold auditions.
Oh, my.
All over the country, and a lot of those actually are shown in the beginning. American Idol takes a whole season.
Hmm.
And it's an amazing phenomenon.
I guess better watch it, eh?
You should, because
okay.
It is, I see it as a piece of Americana in our consciousness.
Hmm.
You know, they really focused on the music. And they said, look, the music. You know, it's interesting because none of us want to listen to the kids' music right now.
Hmm.
The rap is, for anybody out there, the rap is absolutely disgusting. You know, they're calling women hoes and, you know, not whores, but hoes. And Chris Rock does a very, very funny bit about this, that, you know, you're out there trying to find a wife and they're on the dance floor, you know, dancing to the words of a music, you know, where I want, you know, I don't, probably it's not appropriate to repeat it here on the show, but, you know, where they are placing body parts into, you know, ears and eyes and, you know,
no.
I mean, just things that are very degrading, very, you know, it's like, it kind of makes you flinch.
One of the best pictures I saw of that was out on the street on a very sunny day. There were four girls who looked so beautiful. They were all dressed up, and they were in this kind of open Jeep kind of vehicle. And they were singing along to some lyrics that were so demeaning, and it was very, very graphic, very gross. And it was about them, really, you know, when you think about it.
Exactly.
I wanted to jump in the truck and talk to them about.
Well, you know, again, desensitization.
Yeah, really.
Okay, they're going to that huge extreme.
Or mesmerization. They're also in a trance, right?
I'm sorry?
It's kind of a mesmerizing thing with all the music and stuff. And
well, the music, their music has messages.
Right.
Okay, and if you look at them right now, all right, they're in constant contact with one another. Okay, you won't find a teenager today who is not text messaging.
Right.
Constantly. They are in constant contact with their own. You will not see them unless they have an iPod in their ears,
mm-hmm.
so that they have their music going while they're text messaging back and forth. Now, this is a huge phenomena that I see. I'm not judging it. I'm saying I'm looking at it as a phenomena. I'm looking at these young people as coming in as a group. Now, let's go to the school side of this. Getting these kids through school is the most difficult thing going right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are not motivated by grades anymore. They think it's all baloney. They think the rules in school are what they have to learn in school is baloney, and they're right. Okay, you know, the war in 1812 or whenever it was, who gives a rip?
Mm-hmm.
What has that got to do with where we are right now?
So and school, who we are.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Our school, and so they're coming in mm-hmm. with this very high intelligence, most of whom are being held back and treated as being handicapped with ADD, ADHD. Their brain processes are so fast. And if you've ever watched them on a computer, doing a computer game or text messaging, you will see how fast their hand-eye coordination is. Unbelievable to watch them. Now, they're trying to take these children, these new children, and stick them in this little square peg.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely don't fit.
And they won't fit. They don't want to.
No, absolutely not. And not only that, what incentive are we really giving them?
Mm-hmm.
They look out at a world that makes no sense. Again, playing it out to the extreme on all fronts. Okay, tattoos, piercings. They're piercing things I would never have believed in a million years. I mean, body parts that aren't visible. And their video games are very violent. Oh, my God, are they violent. And
mm-hmm.
they're not violent in a fantasy kind of way. They're violent in a young guy in a fast car with lots of guns. Okay?
Right.
Running over people, killing people without even thinking twice.
Mm-hmm.
No remorse, no regret, just do as much as you can. Now, I am fascinated that these are the video games that they're watching. And if you look at it today, I guess it's called an Xbox, you know, even adults have these, but primarily, you know, young adults. I even know some men who are, you know, in their 20s and 30s. Playing out the violence, playing out the violence, playing out the dark.
But we have to, are you saying that we have to bring the shadow out like that and we actually have to play it out?
No. Again, this is really just a way to look at what's being played out.
Hmm.
Because we are not integrated because we haven't integrated our own shadow, light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Both. I mean, the shadow is loaded with all our gifts, all our power that we gave away from the time we were born. But I want to stay with the kids tonight because this is really important. And again, sometimes these shows create more questions than answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next week we'll get into more of the technical side of the shadow and, you know, how we approach it. That's why I really encourage everybody, you know, to get the Lazarus information. The workbook is wonderful. And But the frequencies coming through into your home, again, they are supporting this process for us to go through a very, we're asking for it to be a little more elegant this time, so that we can embrace these aspects of ourselves to be more whole, embracing our powers and all the things that are sitting in there. And, you know, as I talk to people every day, people who can't understand why they can't bring what they want to create forward, they can't find their power, and, you know, working through all these deep emotional issues, and we've been doing this now really since the show began. Now, and I want to say that even the rebellion side of this, you know, I want to get into the, these kids are systems busters.
Are they, they're what?
They're systems busters. That's what they came here to do, to bust the system.
Sort of like the 60s, only more so.
Much more so. The 60s, you know, it was free love and wearing a flower in your hair. You know, this is different. Look at, I mean, certainly, Veronica, you've seen it, and folks, you know, I'd say this to all of you. There's a sadness that comes over all of us. It's impossible for it not to.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into a store and some young person comes up to wait on you, and they have tattoos from their wrists all over their body.
Yeah.
Okay, and now that's our stuff. I recognize that. To them, it's beautiful. To us, there's a sadness that at some point they may be really sorry that they've done. It's where we go with it.
Mm-hmm.
They have the courage to be that different. We don't. It's an exaggerated image. Okay? Their courage to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And where is our courage to be different? It's stuck in our shadow. That courage to step out and not worry about what anybody else thinks, to do it because you want to do it. Now, is there peer pressure? Certainly, there's some of this other stuff going on.
You bet.
But it's the visual. There's an intention for it to be visual. You're going to see it everywhere. I have a granddaughter who is one of the most beautiful physical humans I've ever seen in my life, and she's got one of those tattoos above her Levi's, which are very low, across her butt, and to me, I always tell her it looks like it should be on a truck. It's just huge. No, that's not what she wants to hear. Her friends think it's beautiful. I mean, you know, and of course, I kid her about the fact that when she's 50 and she's a grandma, by that time, they'll figure out how to take it off. I'm like, okay.
Interesting.
Now, I'm going to segue here. Back to what Whitley Strieber said about the ET contact.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these children are very multidimensional and are aware of having extraterrestrial experiences. On top of everything else they're going through, they're much more hooked up than most humans. And I can tell you that when children come to the clinic here, all right, to the healing room, to the clinic, they know before they know from the street. I've had one come up and say that, you know, you need a sign out here that says portal, not on the curb, and not at the house, but at the curb. You know, and this kid didn't know what I do. They see. You know, they actually see. I've had babies try to climb the stairs to get up into the healing room, up into the portal. Children, describing what they see, you know, amazing stuff. A little girl lives across the street, and many of them have said the same thing. There's a sun over my house. They see this sun. And I don't, but they do.
You see a sun over here, but you're in Vegas, 7-6. Is that
yeah, well, no, this one's directly over the house, not in the sky.
Oh, wow.
And so these children are amazing. Absolutely amazing. And what's interesting to me, I have one that I'm very close to. I want to be careful what I say because this is a show and I don't want to. And this child got on meth. Brilliant child. Brilliant child. Got on meth. Met her husband-to-be in a crack house. They are now married. And she's going to college. Okay.
So they took themselves off drugs.
They, yeah, and she was living in shelters.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad she was. For like 2 years she was lost, literally lost. And he is now a biomolecular cellular engineer.
Hmm.
And she's going to college now.
But he was doing crack as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did they come in and do their service? You bet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are they responsible today? You bet. And to me, it was a fascination to watch this evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they also counsel their friends. They have a lot of friends, and I want to talk about this as well. Bisexuality. Hugely prevalent with these young people. Hugely prevalent. The mores, in terms of what we see as sexually unacceptable, are gone with these kids. They're going to explore and experiment every different way because they don't have the shame. And they'll talk about their lives openly without the shame.
Hmm. That's great.
They're amazing.
Hmm. And they came for that. I mean, they came to make this difference.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so, you know, what part of the shadow are they playing out? Well, they're playing out our rage, our personal gratification, our self-centeredness, all the things that we really denied. Sexual hang-ups, repressed violence, image, distorted image. You know, we grew up trying to conform. Okay?
Yep.
I mean, that was absolutely what you did.
Right.
And if you dressed in a risque way, you were a slut.
Mm-hmm. And there's no recovery from that.
Oh, no. You
were categorized.
No, once you're deemed that, that's it.
Tell me, I want to go back to something you started to say about their friends, because they have like an amazing peer, they have an amazing peer fidelity, don't they?
Huge.
Yeah. I don't remember that in our society.
They will stick with their friends through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a function with all these young people. And watching, it was a marriage, a wedding, watching the variety was absolutely one of the most fascinating things I ever saw in my life.
Hmm.
From, you know, the colored mohawk, you know, to members of the wedding party. I think three of the girls in the wedding party were in lesbian relationships.
Hmm.
And it was just an amazement to me to see this conglomeration of people and how much they loved and accepted one another.
Hmm.
No judgment. Absolutely no judgment. One of them, unfortunately, died shortly after the wedding because they didn't know he was back on hard drugs and he didn't make it. He had an overdose. But these kids, they're so, you brought up a great point. Their loyalty to one another is astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go back to this connection thing, this whole text messaging and being in constant, you know, you see it on instant messaging on computers. They're in constant contact. They are a group, a very big group.
A soul group.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. You need to come in great groups, many, many groups. Eh?
I'm sorry?
There are many of these groups around the world right now.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And these kids are really connected. But what's amazing to me to see them come out the other side. You know, I have a grandson who was diagnosed with a handicap of small motor skills and being ADD. And I've watched him through the school system. I mean, I've been very close to him. And many times he said to me, I'm here to teach teachers how to handle special children. And it's like he would play out this role. It was the most amazing thing I ever saw. And, of course, I never really got it until now, until I could see how exactly he was doing that. And he counsels all his friends. He's always been the counselor. Now, that doesn't mean he has his own life together, but he still has that heart, that caring. He is the one that they turn to, and he has his own brand of wisdom that fits within his group. All my grandchildren are like that. And it's fascinating to me. It's absolutely fascinating. So that's why I thought tonight, as we start dancing into the shadow and then making the recommendations on the Lazarus material, because this is going to be a very interesting exploration.
You bet.
And I'm just going to share again, my story on this about, which I know I've told before, but I think it's so appropriate for tonight. I had to do a PowerPoint presentation for a proposal for real estate for Round Table Pizza. My girlfriend's husband, I showed it to him, and he said, well, it's got no sizzle. It's Cuban. So he had me to his home for 2 days, he and his wife both, to prepare this PowerPoint presentation, and went back to the time when I had been married, and which was attached to tons of sorrow for me and shame because of what happened in the marriage and what he did and this and that and the other thing, okay? It failed marriage. And I left all my successes on the table there. And the power of who I was, the things I accomplished, literally went into my shadow. And he pulled them out of me for 2 days. And I was nauseous. I wanted to throw up. I just really wanted to run. I did not want to do this. And he pulled out everything I had done, big commercial deals and so on, and converted, and I'd forgotten all about them because I left it all there. The shame was the element that left it there. So I stuck it all in my shadow, including all the power I had.
So that means that as you walk to the next phase of your life, you just ignored all that you'd done.
Well, yes, I think we all do this. We've all had relationships that had shame attached to them for one reason or another. Likewise, our childhoods, where we have left pieces of ourselves there that are in the shadow. They're treasures.
So how do we get them out? Let's go.
Well, we'll begin next week.
Remember the old radio show? It says, and the shadow knows. Sounds like it's true, huh?
Yes. Now, we're going to try to keep this one a lot more gentle since everybody is still working through the shame piece. But I'm excited about this one because what I see is the opportunity for us to go in and reclaim those pieces of ourselves that we had judgments on. And, you know, the kind of undoing all the things that we were taught, you know, especially as children, Lord Almighty. That was another experience I had. It was very interesting. Was another one of the dreams. I mean, they gave me this huge chunk of experiences, and I woke up with all this knowing.
Great.
And places that I had left, beautiful pieces of myself that went into the shadow, that are part of the light shadow that need to be retrieved. And I'll, you know, just give one real quick one. When I was doing the work with Debbie Ford, shadow work, it came out during this 3-day intensive, which was pure hell, about the fact that I had been psychic as a child, hugely psychic as a child, and because I was kept locked up for it, literally, in a room, isolated from everyone, I shut down. And I met someone I became engaged to in Canada, and we went to a retreat. And this retreat, it was put on by a Church of Religious Science up in Banff in Canada. And they booked me. They were doing a dinner theater thing on this 2-day retreat. And I was cast as the psychic. And so you continued your role you know, on the breaks. And I was going around reading people's palms, and I realized I could read everybody whose palms I looked at. And I was like, and people were crying, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm really a psychic.
So your shadow sneaked out, huh?
That's right. My light shadow jumped out.
Isn't that wonderful?
I think that's a great story. I mean, it was such a wonderful gift. Wonderful gift handed to me on a silver platter, literally.
So is next week going to be a silver platter?
Well, I don't know yet. Next week will certainly be interesting, and I think we'll probably start with childhood and work our way up. Everyone is so amazing. You guys are just... I love you all. I say this every week. I love you, love you, love you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best. And Veronica, I love you.
Yeah.
You're just, you've been such a willing participant in this and a great contributor. I thank you so, so much.
Oh, well, I love you too. And also, it's a lot of fun and certainly educational and has shaken me up like mad.
Well,
we like that, don't we?
No, we didn't want to be bored. I know we didn't.
Well, let's have fun with this shadow, because I'm looking forward to my gifts popping out some more. And
oh, yes.
And we'll have a great time.
All right. And thank you, everyone, and good night.
Good night.
Veronica, your website?
www.veronicaentwistle.com. And I'm on next Tuesday at 4 p.m. West Coast time. It's an interactive show about you, so you can even call in and talk about this stuff if you want to.
Wonderful show.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. You know my website, ethealing.com. I thank you all. We'll talk to you next week as we begin to discover all those wonderful pieces of ourselves and all the denied stuff that we forgot about.
And good night to all those beings that are hanging around Jackie's house doing it.
Full house. Good night, everyone.
Nice.